Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Yes. Hello and welcome to this edition. They tell us that there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. No God like Jehovah. So we know that. Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program, which will be extended to 90 minutes tonight. We have a featured guest that will be joining us this evening. We're so excited about tonight's programming. Those of you all that joined us last night, we are so delighted that you took time out of your busy schedules to join us. Any of our co-hosts or featured guests that are going to be logging in tonight, it's important that you press 1 on your dial so that you will be able to go into the queue, and that way we know that you're there. Some of you all have done that. My regular co-hosts have done that already. But if you are a featured guest, you may not be aware that you must press 1 on your dial to go into a queue. And that will let us know that you're there. Otherwise, we won't be able to effectively communicate with you because it sends us a signal that you must press 1. Okay, we see that one of them has done that already. All right, good evening and welcome to tonight's program. This is going to be an exciting show. We have kind of a threefold program that we're going to be dealing with tonight. It's a very deep topic. And again, I want to express this disclaimer that the opinions that are expressed on this show or any of my shows are those of myself, strictly my opinion, those of my co-hosts, any of my co-hosts. I have from 3 to 5 co-hosts that joins us on various shows. It's basically their opinions as well, or any of our featured guests. We do not endorse anyone's comments or complaints, for that matter. We basically respect everyone's opinion who may call in and utter their opinions. And we do it in a respectful way, and we also ask that when you are speaking with any of our co-hosts or featured guests, if you have questions or concerns for them, that you also be mindful of that as well. We certainly do appreciate you all calling in from all over the place. We really appreciate that. And come May, this will be 12 years that we've been on the program. So doing this program, actually, and I want to thank all of you all that have been followers and fans for all that length of time. We appreciate you all telling your family, your friends constantly about us, and we're here for the community and for you all as well. We had an opportunity to visit one of the radio stations today, and we're bringing a broadcast from a different location. So sometimes we move around so much from day to day, from week to week, we can be in different locations. We're traveling next week, as a matter of fact, and hopefully we'll be back in the studio to bring you good programming. If at any time, I have to say this here, if at any time the program goes out, because we experienced some technical difficulty last night, I have well-qualified co-hosts, with Lady Love and Lady C, that will pick up the programming without any delay in it. And they will be able to bring you the program continually until I'm able to log back in. And even if I'm not able to log back in, they'll carry the program. They're quite qualified, and it's like going on autopilot. Without further delay, let me go ahead at this point and bring in Lady Love in just a moment. I want to say that all the information that's presented on the show is for education and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. On this show, we're not giving legal advice. We're not giving medical advice. We're not giving psychology advice. It's just strictly opinions for education and information purposes only. All right. Having said that, if you need those services, we encourage you to seek the appropriate professional in those areas. All right, Lady Love, good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast. We are ready for you.
Well, hello, Dr. Walker, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be with you tonight. I've been away for a while, so it's nice to be back. And I'm excited about tonight's show. Thank you.
All right, excellent. We are certainly happy to have you. Let me go ahead and bring in our other co-host this evening. Lady C, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you as well.
Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing today? I hope you guys all had a wonderful, wonderful, blessed day, because I truly have. I am excited about tonight, of course, like every other, you know, talk show night that we have, and I'm just ready to see what you guys have to offer as well as what I have to offer to you guys. So,
all right, we're very excited about that. We want you all to say hello. We're going to bring in our featured guest this evening. Let's go ahead and start with bringing in Pastor Ben Floyd. We're going to ask Pastor Ben Floyd to go ahead and give us his introduction. And Ben, Pastor Floyd, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you with us this evening. We certainly look forward to your communications with us this evening. Welcome to the broadcast tonight.
Good evening, Dr. Jesse Walker. It is my pleasure to be on the line with you all tonight. We are thankful for the opportunity to be able to share a little bit of knowledge and to hopefully grow us into a better way of understanding. So it is a pleasure. It's my first time being a host on the show, so I'm excited. And I'm excited about my co-host that's on the show. So I'm looking forward to a very, very strong and great dialogue tonight. So,
excellent. Pastor Floyd, we certainly do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And we're certainly looking forward to an excellent program tonight. Let's now, without further delay, let's go to Dr. Haynes. Dr. Shanta, I always seem to get this, my tongue is twisted between the Spanish and English over here. Dr. Shanta, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you as well.
Well, thank you so much. It is my honor to be here as well. And I am looking forward to this evening and disseminating as much information as possible to help the people to get to where we need to be.
All right, Dr. Haynes, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Pastor Floyd, I want to bring you in and just give a brief introduction of yourself, your ministry, and how people may want to either get in touch with you after the broadcast if they desire your professional services.
Okay, good evening. So I am Pastor Ben Floyd. I am with Faith Covenant Fellowship, which is an Adventist organization in the Winter Park, Florida area. And you can reach us at, or reach me at 407-920-5264. Again, that's 407-920-5264.
Okay, very good. And Dr. Haynes, we're going to bring you in because we're doing a twofold program tonight with our topic. And you talk about faith and finance. And I just, you know, tonight's topic, of course, is how to know that God is with you during the COVID season, how to know that God is with you during the COVID season. And you're going to be speaking to the issue of faith and finance. Give us a little introduction about yourself, please, and how that may relate or tie in to COVID-19.
Definitely. My name is Dr. Shanta Haynes again. I'm with Heart to Heart Truth Ministries, and it's a parachurch ministry, if you would. So I don't have a church, but I create different educational programs and resources in order to help the community. My number one goal is to help believers live the abundant life that Jesus died for us to have. And you can find me online at htruth.org. That's htruth.org.
All right, excellent. We're going to ask both of you all to stand by. We're going to give our my co-host an opportunity to say welcome to the broadcast. We're going to start with Lady Love, followed by Lady C.
Well, welcome, Pastor Floyd and Dr. Haynes. Thank you so much for coming on this show. I look forward to learning a lot. I was so excited when I realized that you guys were going to be on the show tonight. So thank you and welcome.
Well, this is Lady C. I just want to say thank you. So, thank you guys so much for, you know, joining us tonight. I am definitely looking forward to see what you guys have to offer because I know I am going to learn a lot from you, Dr. Haynes, and also to you, Pastor Floyd. I just want to thank you guys so much for being here.
All right, we'll begin our show this evening now, and we're going to start out with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings of the day and every day that you give us. We pray now, Lord, that you would intervene and be a part of our program tonight. We invite you and help us to all get something from tonight's broadcast. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's begin with Pastor Floyd. I got to ask you this question. I mean, you know, tonight's topic, and I mean, it's rather deep, and we've got people who want some answers. And we're trying to find out how to know that God is with us during the during this COVID season. And I call it a season for a reason. I mean, people went through the 1918 Spanish flu, and they, you know, I mean, there's nobody here to tell us about that. It was 102 years ago, 103 years ago now. So how do we know that God is with us during this season?
Well, we have to first understand who God is, and a lot of times we think God is this mean, spooky old guy that just wants to come down and strike people down and kill them with a lightning bolt. Well, that's not who God is. And if we know from our past experiences and past history, you know, pandemics and these things are not uncommon. You know, there was a great plague back in the time of Israel. And they had the death angel coming around then. So, you know, everything that happens, God has to give permission for it to happen. It doesn't happen just out of some cosmic event or circumstances. It is something that he has either allowed it or orchestrated to happen. And it's usually done to get our attention, to bring us closer to who he is and let us know that he is still in control when things seem out of control.
Okay, excellent. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Lady C, I mean, Lady Love, let me bring Lady Love in here just for a second because I want to go to the phone lines in a moment. But Lady Love, I mean, I'm told, and then this is going to be a question for both Pastor Floyd and Dr. Haynes, I'm told that God said he would never leave or forsake us. And I'm trying to just figure out, I mean, you got people who are dying. I just got a call yesterday morning from a very close friend that passed away with this situation going on. I mean, two calls this week. And it's like we're in that death season that Pastor Floyd, you know, they were putting his blood over the doors. And it's like, you know, there's nobody exempt. You got a scripture out there where God says he will never leave or forsake us. Give us something. I mean, did he do something?
Well,
I mean, Adam and Eve messed up. Go ahead, Lady Love.
Well, Genesis 28:15, God says, I am with you and I will watch over you wherever you go and I will bring you back to the land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So, yes, God is with us. And I agree with Pastor Floyd. God does these things to get our attention when we have stepped away. Can I ask a question, Pastor Floyd? When God is trying to get our attention, is it always in a chaotic situation?
Amen.
to answer that question, no, it is not in a chaotic situation. You see, the Holy Spirit is operating us on a daily basis. He is trying to give us direction about things that we should and should not be doing. So the problem is that most of us have deafened ears to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is there to help us in our path. It's there to help us with correction. But because we have become deafening ears to the Holy Spirit, then there's other means that have to come into play to help us shift from where we are back into the place of where we're supposed to be. So I'm sure a lot of times we're going through our days, and I'm sure most people in this voice have had that kind of voice that tell them, hey, you need to make a right here because there's something ahead that you don't know about. And we hear the voice, but we just don't yield to the voice. And so to answer your question, no, he does not need chaos all the time. If you remember back in the days of Israel, when Moses went to speak to Pharaoh, he clearly said in a very calm voice, I've been sent here for you to let my people go. And so because of Pharaoh's disobedience and his pride and arrogance, he decided that he wasn't going to do what he's going to do. And as a result, there is a series of events that occur because of his arrogance, which later became irrelevant for him. So, but the point is that, no, God does not always use chaos. As a matter of fact, chaos is usually his last resort. His first is through love and passion. That's what he wants to do. He wants to love us through whatever situations we're going through.
All right, we're going to ask you all to stand by. Dr. Haynes, I want to bring you in before I go to Lady C. And Dr. Haynes, I want to ask this question. I mean, you've got a lot of people who are out here afraid to spend money right now. I mean, it seems imminent that people might be losing their homes. They might be they're not able to pay their rent. How could it be possible that COVID-19 could have turned out to be a financial blessing for people who are almost losing hope?
Actually, it has been a blessing for many people. Connecting the two questions, that the one that was just asked, yes, some people have lost their lives during COVID. And for those, if anybody's listening, my heart goes out because it has affected every single family. However, in the same instance, we still recognize that God is still good. Many people have been able to save money during this time period because they're not driving as often as they were. They were also now eating at home, so they're not spending money out. They're not driving to and from their jobs. So there's a lot that has occurred that has been beneficial for us. I believe during this COVID crisis, or I call it Corona cooties, but during this particular time period, we had an opportunity to reset and to get to that point where we put everything back in order, in balance, God, family, and ministry. And the finances came through, but it did also in many communities, especially mine, in many communities, it woke us up to the fact or magnified the fact that we did not have the financial literacy nor the financial education. And so we were not doing what we were supposed to. And so now we had this opportunity to now take a step back, look at what we had been doing, and make those adjustments. And there are plenty of adjustments that are necessary. But I do believe that there have been those that have been blessed by this time period.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. You know, Lady C, I've got to bring you in. And then because this is a question that I've got for Pastor Floyd, I mean, we talk about the question that Lady Love asked about crisis. Does God have to bring us through these through trying times like this to get our attention? You got a lot of people scared out of their wits. Lady C, are you at all scared for what's going on out here? Are you leaving your house? Do you not wear your mask or goggles and everything else that goes along with that?
No, I'm not afraid, but I do wear my mask. And, you know, I do agree with the with Pastor Ben. You know, God do use different ways to get your attention, you know. And can I tell y'all a story? I'm gonna tell you guys a story, okay? When I would say probably when I was in my early 20s, you know, God used me to connect to one of my friends, my coworkers, you know, to give her a warning to for a certain situation she was going through. And the story was behind her was, I had a dream that I was pregnant. And in my dream, I didn't feel my baby move in 3 days, you know? And when I looked at the top lining of my belly, it was green. But when I decided, after the dream, that next morning when I woke up, I went to work. And I was sitting there telling my friend who was pregnant my dream, you know? And it was in the middle of telling her my dream, my friend, like, break down, and she's like, oh, my God, you know, this is happening to me. That was happening to her. My whole dream I was having was happening to her. And I told her, go to the hospital, because in my dream, God told me that everything was okay. So I told the girl everything was okay. But the thing is, the point I'm trying to make is God used me to get to her, and that's the way of God. Instead of him bringing down trouble or turmoil, he will use people to reach you, and it doesn't have to be a disaster. And just,
wow,
you know, to end that story, that lady, the lady, child ended up being okay, and she had her baby. So
excellent, excellent. Thank you for sharing that with us. Pastor Floyd, I got to ask you this question, because that's a good point that Lady Love brought out earlier, because, you know, I grew up hearing a lot of hellfire sermons that would scare you to want to join the church. And I mean, it's almost as if, but it turns out that looks like some sermons are designed to make you feel like everything that you do, you got to feel guilty about. And so it's like, I mean, if you don't pay your return, your tithe and offering or give more than enough, it's like it's never enough. And everything that you do, you feel guilty. I don't believe that. I just refuse to believe that that's the God that we serve, because he gave us free will. So how is that free will if they're scaring us to serve God? Pastor Floyd?
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were finished. Well,
yeah.
a lot of that is built back from our early days of slavery. And so there was a lot of misunderstanding about what the word meant, what the Bible meant. And so let's keep this honest and upfront. A lot of our forefathers didn't have the ability to really be able to disseminate and read the Bible correctly and interpret it correctly, but they did have an anointing on their lives. And so the things that they were given and things that were taught, that was their mode of delivering the message to the people. God is not, that's like I said earlier, he's not this mean old man that sits up there just ready to strike us down. He's a loving God. He loves us through it all. And most cases, most people don't realize that all he wants you to do is just ask to have a relationship with him. He wants to be invited in. And so all we have to do is invite him into our lives and allow the Holy Spirit and the fruits that we have there forth, our gifts, our anointing, to be manifested in our lives. And so as we grow, because we start off with baby food, and as we grow, we start to get more substance and meat. And as we get more meat in our diet and in our learning and our experiences, we understand who the true nature of God is. And so therefore, we should not be afraid. He did not give us a spirit of fear, and we should not be, manifesting these spirits that there's bad things coming, hell and brimstone. Now, there is a time where we're going to have to make a choice. And that choice is going to be whether we want to love God more than we love ourselves in our lives, or we want to trust the enemy or the voices that we hear that's contrary to who God is. And so that's each person's own individual choice. And we cannot take choice away. Choice is already there. It's the decision. Our choice is already there. The choice has already been made for us. When he died on the cross for all our sins, the choice is already made. I want to love you. I want to give you life abundantly. I want to see you in the kingdom because I love you. But we have a decision to make, and our decision is quite simple. Do we want to trust and love God above all else, or do we want to go with the things of this world?
All right. We're going to go to the phone lines. I want to go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 305-733. Just before we do, Pastor Floyd, you've said a mouthful here, and I want my listener and audience to know, if you want to speak to, if you have a question for Dr. Haynes or Pastor Floyd, press one on your dial to go into a queue. Pastor Floyd, when I look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and you know the scripture, isn't that enough for me to just believe, just briefly, isn't that enough for me to just believe, or do I have to keep repenting every second of the day with that guilt that people scare you with?
Again, there was some misgivings about the teachings and how we're taught. And so when you come to the repentance, that really was a part of the whole Catholic situation where you had to go to a priest and confess your sins to the priest, and then the priest would give you directions as to what to do to cleanse yourself and be free and whole again. We know now that we can go directly to the Father. We don't have to repent in that form and fashion. Not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but we don't have to do that. because the cross gave us direct access to God now. And sometimes people don't even know what to pray, but it says that the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and translates them and delivers them to God in the way that it should be. So, no, we should not be in a place that we feel we have to repent all the time. We should be in a place of thanksgiving. We should be in a place where we're just thanking God for our lives, for the things we have, because everything we have, He's allowed us to have. And if He has not allowed us to have it, there's a reason, because maybe down the road that particular item may have become an idol to us, and it will take away from who He is in our lives. So He's very deliberate about how He takes care of us. Remember, we're just children. We're children. We're sheep. And so He's making sure we're taken care of, that we're being protected, that we're being nurtured, that we're being given all the things that we need, that we may grow strong and grow, you know, vibrant in who He is.
Okay. I'm going to come back to answer it shortly with another question. Dr. Haynes, we're going to come at you just shortly as well, because I'm thinking about what's being said now. And when I think about developing countries, which was previously referred to as third world countries, and I'm seeing the struggles, and I've experienced being in some of these countries. You know, you got poverty throughout Africa. You've got that, and yes, we have it in America too, but I've seen it in Mexico when I go there often, and it's in Haiti. And so then we're saying, is that deliberate? That's why we're going to actually stand by for that one, and then Dr. Haynes as well. Let's go to the phone line, 7305-733. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Who do we have on the air, and welcome?
Good afternoon. Good evening, Dr. Walker. This is Stephanie. Happy Sabbath to all of you, if you are Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. Thank you for that, and to our Jewish friends who are joining us, shalom, and as well.
Shalom.
Thank you. Stephanie, did you have a question?
No. Actually, I'm just listening, and I'm enjoying the conversation with Pastor Hall and Dr. Haynes. So right now,
Pastor,
I'm just listening. I do not have a question. I'm sorry.
No, Pastor Floyd. Uh-huh.
Pastor Floyd and Dr. Haynes, correct?
Right. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. We're going to ask you to stand by. Dr. Haynes, let me bring you in. And I'm thinking now, I mean, we've got COVID-19 going on, but
mm-hmm.
I grew up thinking that there was a scripture that I often heard in the church that it would be easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, or a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than a rich man to go to heaven. And so I grew up thinking, so to speak, that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't wise to be rich. But as I got older, I wanted to be rich. And I still want to be rich. So am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It just depends. Because I'm going to tell you honestly, when you look at the scriptures, I was under that same impression when I first looked at it to say, hey, well, I want to go to heaven. So what's there? But when you really look at it, and you look at it in both, because those are in the Gospels, in the Synoptic Gospels, when you look at it in, I want to say it's in Luke's Gospel, he gives you more detail. It says it was hard for this rich man to get into heaven because his trust was in the riches and not in God. And so Jesus died for us. I always say he did not die for us to financially struggle. If you read John 10:10, it says the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's not when you get to heaven. That's while you're here on this earth. So he wants, mm-hmm. if we keep talking about the fact that God, the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him, the riches are there and available. He shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. All of those are in the scriptures, and those are right. He is my exceeding great reward. All of that is there. Mm-hmm. The God that we serve is abundant. Many times, however, we have this poverty mindset or a scarcity mindset, and we start thinking that if I don't have, if I subject myself so that I am not achieving much and I'm not getting much, then maybe with my piety, I am more, and of course somebody decides to try to call me, but I am then more godly, and that's not the case. That's not what God's word says. Now, if you're getting riches for riches' sake because you just want more, then you can go to the man with the barns that he just kept increasing them. And God says your soul is required tonight. But what he does call him to is a fool. And no, I don't want God to call me a fool. Don't want anybody
right.
else either. But if God calls
right.
you a fool, you know you have really missed the mark. So
right.
what I always say is we need the wealth, we need the income so that we can increase the kingdom, because we need to be able to make a kingdom impact. And we can't do that while we're here on this earth without funds. Does that
wow,
make sense?
That is, well, you know what? As a matter of fact, when I stopped, I'm going to be honest with you all, I mean, I'm a sinner, and I believe I'm saved by grace. But I tell you what, when I stopped listening to all the things that range from negative people, negative thoughts, anything that made me remotely feel guilty for anything that I was doing, even breathing sometimes, I mean, it felt bad. And I've seen, we've talked about this on one of my other shows, how mental illness plays a role in people who become so religious and sanctified that they're made to feel like everything that they do is guilty. When I stopped listening to, and I'm not going against the word of God now. I'm saying when I stopped listening to people who tried to make you feel guilty because of the way you lived your life, when their lives were no better, I started to progress through that scripture that you mentioned, Dr. Haynes, when Christ came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So I researched this deeply. And I'm saying, okay, life and have it more abundantly, I'm going to enjoy life, and that's the lifestyle I live today. So in answering my question, you're saying I'm not wrong in my thinking, and because I'm prospering. And as a result
exactly.
of me prospering, I'm able to bless so many other people.
Exactly,
so,
and you should.
What message, mm-hmm. Dr. Haynes, would you give the people who may have been thinking like I once thought, and like you once thought, as you said, about that same scripture with the camel going through the eye of a needle? What message would you have for them right now?
The message would be get to know who God is. The Bible says that we're asking that grace and peace be multiplied to you based on your knowledge of God. You have to get in the scriptures for yourself. Be like the Bereans. Study for yourself. Don't just take what somebody else is telling you. If you need to get in school, get in school. If you need someone to help you with the Greek and the Hebrew language, because that's what it was written in, you have to go back to the original languages to get a really good understanding. There are many pastors that are out there, and I'm going to just say this from my own opinion based on hearing Pastor Floyd. I think that he is teaching biblically based teaching. And you need to find those that are teaching it the way it really is and not trying to puff themselves up or move themselves forward. When I told you from the beginning that I do a lot of the financial education, it's because I have a passion to help believers have this abundant life, put feet to their faith. Why? Because too many have come in and fleeced the flock. And, you know, finance is just one side of it, but we have also fleece the flock in our mental abilities. No, we should not be beat down. Yes, we should strive to please God in everything that we do. So if we're going down the wrong path, he says, get on the narrow path. So I should not feel condemned. He says, now there's no condemnation to those who believe. You say, I'm not doing it right. You wake up every morning, Father, forgive me for all the things that I have done and help me to do it right. I will do it right until I put my feet on the floor and somebody comes in that door. You know, you just never know. But he is growing us and he is changing us into his image each and every day. No, we're not perfect. But our goal in our heart should be that we want to please him in everything that we do.
All right. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a moment, and we're going to bring my two co-hosts in. I'm certain that they have questions. Pastor Floyd, I mean, you got people who are even scared about getting this vaccine. And in some jobs, it's going to be mandatory for first responders and others to get this vaccine. And so, I mean, and people want to trust in God. They say, well, I'm not going to, like, you got people who believe in Scientology, and I'm not knocking anyone's faith or their beliefs or their religion. Please, that's not what I'm doing. But you got people who say, well, I will not subscribe to getting a blood transfusion or for my child if, in fact, they need a blood transfusion. And I've seen cases in law where people, where children have died because the parent or the judicial system had to take over to, you know, impose a law there for them on getting that child the protection that they needed because they were underage, going against the parents. So now in a case like this here with the vaccines, Pastor Floyd, what can you tell our listening audience tonight who are saying, I'm not going to take that vaccine, I'm going to trust God, and even though they may have a family member who's older or younger that's subject to maybe having some of the symptoms, what do you tell that person?
Well, I always start off with lean not to your own understanding, but trust God in everything. And so with that being said, we have to look at people for where they are in their walk and their understanding of who God is in their life. So if you're trusting God with everything in your life, then you don't have a spirit of fear or concern because God said, I'm going to take care of you because I care for you. Now, again, as we move forward in these things that, you know, man has provided for us, who do you think gave man the knowledge to be able to come up with these things? See, we don't understand that everything that is about who we are as individuals, God gave that to us. There are people who are very, very intelligent. Who do you think made them intelligent? They didn't make themselves intelligent. God had designed them to be intelligent. So we have to understand that things of this world, and it says in the last days, men shall become smarter and wiser and brighter about things. So we have to understand where we are in the process. Now, when it comes to making a decision about a medical decision, it is still your own decision. You are responsible for your own decisions. And so I would not tell anyone hither or there whether to take it or not. But you do understand at some point you're going to have to deal with one or the other. You're going to either deal with coronavirus or you're going to deal with the vaccine. So it's becoming a choice. And when I said the choice has already been made, but the decision, it's the decision that you make as an individual about your situation. Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust your own self? Are you going to trust God? And so you have to come to the decision. God gives us the ability to make our own decisions. And so that's when I said earlier, we have to make a decision. Are we going to go and trust God? Are we going to listen to the voice of the stranger? Everything in life is based on a decision because our decisions open up the doors to other decisions or other results that's going to happen. And so you got to make sure you understand which doors you're opening up. And are they going to be beneficial to you or are they going to be a detriment to you?
All right. Very good. We're going to actually stand by. Let's go back to the phone line. So Stephanie, see if she has questions. Then I'm going to go to my co-host. Any of you all have a question, please press one because, you know, I'm thinking, I'm listening to all of this tonight. And I'm also thinking that here we are on the show and we're talking about trusting God. And I mean, it's like making a decision. And you, and Pastor Floyd, I certainly agree with that. That every day, life is about making decisions and choices. But now here it is, getting to a point where it's almost like, you know, you don't know enough about some of this stuff to really make an adequate or sufficient decision. Let's go to the phone line, Stephanie. Let's bring you back in. Did you have a question? And then Stephanie, I want to give a scenario if you don't mind first.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Stephanie, say you're a first responder. You're a nurse that works in the hospital, and you don't feel comfortable. You don't feel comfortable because one of my friends who's I have several medical friends who are doctors, and some of them have even outside of the vaccine, some of them have felt that, you know what, I don't want to practice medicine anymore because I know something that the people don't know, and I don't feel good doing certain things. Now, Stephanie, let me say you're a nurse and you work in the hospital and they say it's mandated that you as a first responder have to get this vaccine. And you're reluctant because there's not enough people that have had it. So you want to wait 5 years to see what reactions it might have on other people, you know, before you get the first shot, then 28 days later, get the second shot. What would you do? But your job is on the line, but you trust God for your job, and you trust God for your life. What do you do, Stephanie?
Oh, wow.
If I trust God, I wouldn't even have a second, but I wouldn't think twice about it. If I trust God, I know that he's going to take care of me, and I'm going to have faith that whatever decision that I make, I'm going to just put it in his hand and just trust that everything is going to be all right, especially being a nurse. A first responder nurse with most of them that I know, they trust the vaccine. So I don't know too many of them that say, no, they won't get the vaccine, but I know several of them that do trust the fact that God, this is something that God has given man, and they trust the process. So, and I'm sure I'll be one of those nurses if I were
okay
to get the vaccine.
So you
would
get,
I would say yes.
Okay,
I will take.
So
it.
You trust God that
yeah,
gave
I mean,
man the knowledge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, we
saying?
Take
okay.
Tylenols. We don't know what's in the Tylenols that we take. We don't know what's
okay.
in any of this stuff that we take across the counter. All we're doing is
okay.
we just saying, oh, it's sealed, so it must be protected. No, that
okay.
doesn't mean that the crazy person that's sealing it hasn't put anything in it. So if you're okay to trust the Tylenols and the what do you call them that they give the antibiotics and all that stuff?
Yeah, all
you
that.
Know, my
uh-huh.
kids, why not just pray? You have to pray and trust God that everything will be okay, because we don't know from day to day, from eating the food that we eat, eating out at restaurants. We don't know. We just
right.
don't. That's my thing.
That's a good point. Lady C, let me bring you in, and let me give you that same scenario. However, you're the nurse. But you've got, and let's say that you're 25, and you've got a 7-year-old, and they say, "Mommy, I'm scared. I don't want to really, you know, I don't really want you to take that shot, Mommy, and I don't want that shot because, you know, one of my friends' mom took the shot, and she had they don't know the word. They may not. Yes, they do. The kids today know the word allergic reaction. So they say to you, the kid says, and you're kind of skeptical. What do you do, Lady C? Do you just fully, is your trust in God enough to go ahead and take that vaccine?
Yes, my trust in God is good enough, only because someone else has an allergic reaction doesn't mean I'm going to have an allergic reaction to it.
Okay.
So I'm
going to
trust
right.
in God to take the vaccine.
To take the vaccine. All right, Dr. Haynes, I want to bring you in, and then before I go to Lady Love, and then Pastor Floyd, I want to come back with, you know, they talk about in Revelation the mark of the beast, that will be in your hand or your forehead. So if man decides that you got to get this mark in your hand or your forehead, then do we trust God and get that mark in our hand or our forehead, you know, contrary to what we've been taught? But let me go to Dr. Haynes first and ask her that question about being the nurse, the first responder. Where do we draw the line, if at all, in trusting God versus trusting what man has put together? And then they say, oof, we made a mistake.
Okay, now that's a difficult question for me to answer, and I'm going to say from past experience. I have 3 girls. My middle daughter,
okay.
Jasmine, passed away at the age of 10. She had seizures with the onset of illness. And with that, though, I know when we were doing vaccinations for the kids in order to go to school, you know, those series of vaccines that they give, it does identify that 1% of the population it has some adverse effects with, and some of them happen to be seizures. I happen to have one of those children who, at the time in going in, she did end up with problems. Now, they since changed some of that vaccine so that there was some part of it that was causing it that they started removing away from it. But we had to deal with it. At the same time, when she went to school, people would bring their children to school with colds and flus and things of that sort, and she would pick it up and immediately have a seizure. So she ended up getting pneumonia from her teacher. And a year and a half later with the lupus, drug-induced lupus, she ended up passing away. Do I blame God for that? No. But I do recognize that people are inherently selfish and they're not doing for others or considering others. And we see a lot of that right now with the coronavirus and not taking those precautions that we need. So because I have a history of knowing someone who has had issues because of a vaccine, I'm a little bit more trepidatious about it than somebody else might be. I take good care of myself. I prefer my primary care physician knows that I would prefer to eat healthy, not take any drugs whatsoever. And I'm getting up there in years, but I don't have any medical issues. I trust God. And I'm not saying that I would not take the vaccine, but on a regular basis, I'm not the one that is out there doing that, if that helps.
All right.
I have a mother who's older, and she's probably going to be doing that, but it depends on the individual.
I understand. I'm so sorry. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm so sorry about your loss. And, you know,
she's in a better place. I know where she is, and I'm going to see her soon, so I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right. What brings you comfort is important. Lady Love, before I go to Pastor Floyd, Lady Love, let's bring you in. Did you have a question, a comment, or a concern?
Well, yes, I have a question. And Dr. Haynes, amen. All I want to do is say amen, because you are right 100%. And I thank you for sharing that, because my daughter has allergic reaction to sulfates, so she can't take penicillin. And I have a concern with her taking the vaccine and knowing that there's three different types of vaccine, not knowing which one they're going to give us. So I have concerns. Do I have faith in God? Yes. But God didn't make a fool either. So he did give me knowledge to, you know, do some research.
Right.
But I do have a question. When you're dealing with your faith in the time of trouble, do you feel that he gives you the answer faster in the midst of your trouble, or does he just take his time?
That's a very good question.
Is that for me?
Yes,
yeah,
that's
a little bit more, because
doctor.
I've even pondered that myself. It's like sometimes I've asked God, and it's like, is he out to lunch? Is he still out to lunch? You know, God,
well,
with all due respect, I don't want you to frighten me, but I'm just.
Let me answer it this way. I've been teaching theology for the past 15 years, and you guys have been in school before, right? Everybody's been in school. When you're giving a test, is the teacher silent?
Yes.
And the answer is yes. The teacher is silent.
Yes, it is.
So if you're if he's trying to grow you, then in many instances, he's asking you to do the last thing that he told you to do. And until you accomplish that, he's quiet. But your faith is growing. Your trust is growing. And throughout 2020, many of us have grown and transformed and changed because our trust, our level of trust in God had to increase, because we had gotten so complacent. So in many instances, yes, when he's silent, I believe this, if it's not good, he's not done. And as long as he is working on it, and I'm trusting that he's working on it, I'm okay with it. He can be as silent as he wants to be. We can still ask. Now, I'm not telling you don't ask, but know that he's still working.
All right. Layla, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Thank you for that. Pastor Floyd, we go back now, and we talk about trusting God, making a decision. We have a choice. And when they talk about it in Revelation, and they talk about the mark of the beast, if it comes down to getting this mark and trusting God based on what we've been taught, that you don't get that mark or in your hand or your forehead, because now it's, you know, and I've heard about people talking about Sunday Blue Laws where it's mandated that everybody worships on one day. What do you do then?
Well, I'm going to get to that in just a second. I just wanted to touch on something very quickly here when we're dealing with trust. And so I was going to go to Job 13:15 that says, though he may slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. So a lot of times we as individuals and people, we want everything to be perfect. We believe that everything's going to be orchestrated and done the way we want. We got a plan in place. It's going to go this way and that way, and I'm going to have this, and by this age I'm going to have that. Well, I can tell you, life doesn't work like that. We all have bumps in the road. We all have hiccups. We all have situations that detour us from certain situations that we want to go and do to. So it's not about us and what we think. It's about yielding and submitting yourself. We don't really think about that, but every day we yield to ourselves. You go to a job, they expect you to do A, B, C, and D. They don't want to hear about your situation. They don't want to hear about your problem. They don't want to hear about your
sickness. Right.
They want you to do the job that you were tasked to do. And so we won't really say a whole lot about that because that job gives us a sense of revenue, a sense of entitlement because, you know, we get paid for it. So we'll grumble under our breath, but we'll do it. So why is it so difficult for us to realize that we have to yield ourselves to God too? We yield ourselves to people who at some point are going to disregard us because everybody has a time out in the working life, in the working situation. But God never times us out. He continually keeps pouring into us. And so we got to get to a place in our own mindset to know that it is not about what we always want. Sometimes as a parent, as a father, you got to say no to your child because you know that might be harmful to them or dangerous to them. They don't see it. They don't understand it because they don't have enough information and they don't have enough wisdom and understanding in their lives to realize that that could later potentially cause me a problem. So we're going to let that stay there. Now, getting to the mark of the beast, quite real quickly, the mark of the beast is symbolic. It's not like what we think of, like, you know, putting a stamp on our forehead. The mark of the beast, and I really truly believe that, is already in play. It's in our hands. We use it every day. We call it a cell phone. How do you know that? Take a cell phone from somebody and see what you get. You don't get pushback. I'm not giving my cell phone. I know we talked about this last night, and I made a comment because I knew we'd get back to this. My comment was, why won't you give your boss your cell phone? Not giving them my cell phone. But a lot of us have literally put our entire consciousness on our cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because we have all kinds of things on there that we know we shouldn't have on there. So we can't give our cell phones away because we know if somebody gets it, it's a possibility. Something may pop up that we don't want nobody else to know about us. And so that's when I say the mark of the beast is already in our hands. And what do we put it at? What do we put the phones to? We put it to our foreheads. We put it to our ears. We put it to our mouths. So we are literally allowing all types and forms of information to be disseminated into our minds, into our ears, into our mouths through a device.
Okay, that's so interesting. Go ahead.
So when we think of the end times, the end times is just merely a foretelling of what's the things to come. Now, if you knew everything you did in life, what the ending was going to be, how much would you change in your day-to-day life and routine to prepare yourself for the end?
Every day, everything.
So we have,
maybe I will be pretending every day.
We have the manuscript for what's going to come, what's going to happen, and yet we still operate as though it's really not going to happen. So why are we so concerned with things when we know what's going to come up? If I told you exactly what was going to happen in your day tomorrow, you would probably still do the same thing. Because we are not at a point where we really understand, because we don't read, we don't study, we don't dive into things, particularly when it comes to spirituality and religion, because it just doesn't seem, I don't really see it. So we don't really have the faith to understand what's coming, because faith is the substance of things, what? Everybody knows what faith is.
Evidence, right.
Yeah, but we don't operate like we hope for anything. We operate as though it's going to be the same thing today, tomorrow, and the next day. Well, guess what? When 2020 came, a lot of our thoughts and plans that we plan to do, zip, gone. So we had to adjust our way of thinking. We had to adjust how we interact with each other. We had to adjust everything of our lives. We had to get used to death knocking on our doors.
Mm.
But didn't we already know those things? Didn't we already know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Pastor, we're going to actually stand by just a moment. We've got a number of people that have sent in notices, and they want to be able to, for you all, Dr. Haynes, as well as Pat Floyd, to give out your contact information because they want to know how to get in touch with you. And for the record, Dr. Haynes is not a medical doctor, but would you tell them what type of doctor you are, Dr. Haynes, please?
My PhD is in theology. So I have both on the engineering side because my original degree is electrical engineering, but then I have a bachelor's, master's, and PhD in theology, as well as a bachelor's in Christian counseling.
Okay, and individuals have been sending messages. They want to be able to get in touch with you. Do you have contact, email, website? How do they get in touch with you?
Right. You can go to my website. It's htruth.org. That's for Heart to Heart Truth Ministries.
Okay. All right. Is there a phone number, or they just go to the website and that'll give them everything that they
you
need?
You can go to the website and schedule a call with me, but the number is area code 813-299-2742.
All right. And Pastor Floyd, they're asking the same information of you. How to get in touch with you? Is there a website? Give them the information so they want to contact you directly.
If you want to contact me directly, you can reach me at 407-920-5264. That's 407-920-5264. Or you can email me at Mr. Benjamin 3. That's MrBenjamin, the number 3, at yahoo.com.
Okay, excellent. Thank you both for that. Pastor Floyd, I got to ask you this question here. You said something earlier that we don't have to go to man to confess our sins, and I'm paraphrasing here. And when Jesus died on the cross, we had direct access to him. Now, I'm thinking that I've always been taught that we had to go through Jesus as our mediator to serve as a mediator to communicate with the Father. Has that changed?
Mm-mm.
Well, that was the whole purpose of the cross. See, mm-hmm. Before the cross, there was a series of events that you had to go through to atone for your sins. And we're familiar with those because you had to take an animal, you had to sacrifice that animal for each of your sins, and then you had to take it to a priest. The priest had to slaughter the animal, and the blood shed for that animal was atonement for your sin. Well, the blood that Jesus shed on the cross was atonement for all our sins, past, present, and future. So a lot of times what we didn't understand about the whole process of sin is that, yes, Jesus did shed his blood on the cross for all of our sins. But here's the problem. We still have decisions that we make. So we make decisions every day on what we're going to do to sin. We plan for sin. Sin is not something that just come up and, oh, that just came up. No, we actually think about it. We ponder on it. We make plans about it. We have two sets of clothes. We have a set of directions we're going to go in. We made hotel reservations. We decided we were going to, you know, just slip through at night and try to slip something in real quick. So we actually make plans about our sins. But what we fail to understand is that once you open that door, there's a sword that comes out of that. You don't know if that sword's going to be directly for you because of what you've done, or it's going to be down your line. David, who God said is a man after my own heart,
right,
created some sins that didn't necessarily affect him, but it affected his children down the line. And so all the way to Solomon, even Solomon, he was the wisest man on that ever lived. Because of his father, Solomon paid the sin. He was the recipient of the sin from his father. So we have to make sure we understand that life has consequences, even though they may not manifest themselves immediately, but somewhere down our lines, our fruit are going to pay the price for our disobedience.
All right, we're going to ask you all to stand by. Let's bring Lady C. Do you have a question at this time?
No, I do not have a question, but I would like to make a comment. Hayes stated, you know, Dr. Hayes, just to let you know, I did see this in another light due to the fact you, like, brought some sense to it. When you stated when the student is taking a test, the teacher is silent. When God is quiet, he is trying to grow you. I never looked at that way. You know, sometimes I did ask myself, so I will ask God sometimes, you know, how come you're not hearing me when I'm talking to you? I did not realize he was trying to grow me, you know, until you made that statement. And to Pastor Floyd, you said that the cell phone, something about the cell phone, I'm going to just say it this way, the cell phone is pretty much the devil's playground, but you said in a different context. I always said social media and television is the devil's playground due to the fact social media has came a long way to where it's now cyberbullying, you know, people attacking folks on social media, and television where we have rappers and these women out here that singing that's half naked is drawing our young kids to become just like them. And so it's like killing our kids' futures because our kids think they could be the next best thing if they out here dressing, being naked, wearing, you know, bathing suits to clubs and things, or just, you know, lingerie to clubs. So I look at that as social media and television as being the devil's playground, which is the mark of the beast to me.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Let's go to 70. 70, let's bring you back in. If you all have a question, you got to press 1 on your dial to go into the queue. If you have a question or a concern or just a difference of opinion, we respect all opinions. If you press 1, you'll be able to come in. 70, let me bring you back in. Do you have a question or a concern or a comment at this time?
I don't have a question or concern, actually. I was just listening, and I was just taken by the analogy that Pastor Floyd used about the cell phone, and I kind of don't want to put my cell phone. I kind of want to just look at my cell phone and throw it away now. I don't think I ever want to use it again. But all. And don't mean to make you laugh because it's truly not funny because the analogy he used was, like, awesome. And I like the fact that he said that the mark of the beast is not, you know, because growing up I'm thinking the mark of the beast, I heard it so much. So it's not really, the mark of the beast is actually right here and now. And like you said, it could be the things that we're doing. So I do want to thank him for that one. And also, right. I think it was Dr. Hain who mentioned this about the test. I think they both gave good points, really. Awesome. This has been an awesome night. I've just been in awe about the things I've been hearing. And but I do want to go back to the question I think the young lady asked about. Do you think of when we're experiencing in times of trouble or something we're experiencing, do we think that God is listening, or do we think that God? Well, maybe I should ask this question. Anyone can answer it. How do we feel knowing that when we are in situations like maybe the COVID-19, do we know that the Lord is really listening to us in these times? And I think Pastor Floyd mentioned back in the day how they had plague back then. But sometimes I do wonder about that, you know, honestly, being that I am a believer and stuff, but I still have to wonder about this COVID-19 and where is God in all of this? I do have to wonder because I keep hearing them say something about, oh, you have
preconceived condition.
Pre-existing.
Okay.
Yes. Issues. And how does that play how is God in all of this to you all? Maybe let me hear your thoughts. I mean, I just know that God says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So I know he's got to be with us during all of this. But
right.
My question, I guess, to you is, how are you all in all of this?
Pastor Roy, give us just 1 second. I want to go to Lady Love. Lady Love, bring us a scripture where God was, and then we're going to bring Pastor Floyd in, where God says he will never leave or forsake us. Do you have that one?
Mm-hmm.
And where do people?
Thank you.
And one of the things I'm thinking about, go ahead, ladies.
I'm sorry, Dr. Walker. I could give you the scripture, but my mind is a little troubled. And I know that God would never leave us nor forsake us. That's his promise that he made to us.
Right.
To ask this question to Pastor Floyd, if he does not mind. When you said that sometimes when we do things, we have a choice, and we do things, and they may be a sword, but they may not be a sword to us, but to our bloodline. Does that still count if we are not saved? So if we don't really know Christ, does that still count that we make a choice, and does that still affect our bloodline, or does it change once we are saved, because we now know the difference?
That's a very good point. So we also have Stephanie's question out there pending as well. So you've got two. Pastor Floyd, I want to bring you in and give us the scripture right quick where he said, ladies, do you have that scripture?
It's Hebrews 13:5. I'll just give it to you.
Thank you.
All right,
this
Hebrews 13:5. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Pastor Floyd, we're going to go ahead with Stephanie's question, and we're running out of time, you all. We've got about 22 minutes before we close the show, and we've got some more callers that want to get in. So, Pastor Floyd, with Stephanie's question and then Lady Love's question.
Okay, I'll go very quickly. So, Stephanie, I just want to point out something, because I am a healthcare professional too, so I want to point out something. A lot of times things come to reveal what we have not taken care of. Our bodies are supposed to be the temple of Christ. And so we're supposed to maintain it to a certain level of greatness and perfection. We're supposed to take care of this temple that is given us. And a lot of us have not taken proper care of our temple. And so if you notice what this virus is doing, it attacks the things that were already in existence, because nobody really dies from, quote unquote, the COVID. You die from complications from other things that were already existing inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do a better job at maintaining our temples. We really, really do. We have to do a much, much better job. We got to think of ourselves in a much higher level of understanding, so that when these things come to us, we'll be equipped to be able to not just handle it, but handle it properly. Because he never gives us more than we can handle. He gives us what we can handle. And that's a lot of times we didn't understand that. He gives us what we can handle. So we just got to be better with our health. I mean, I know people, you know, get a little squeamish when you talk about health, but we really got to take better care of ourselves. We really got to do the things necessary to keep our hearts, our lungs, our minds, our bodies in a better, healthier state, so that we can be healthier not only as believers, but healthier as people who are occupying until he comes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Amen.
All right, go ahead on to the next question. Uh-huh.
Just remind me quickly what that question was again. I'm sorry.
So
okay,
you said that sometimes God will the sword will get us through our bloodlines if he does not get us.
So generational curses.
Yeah. So you remember when you were in first grade and then you went to second grade and then you went to third grade and fourth grade? So you needed the building blocks in order to go to second grade. You had to – there's certain masteries of things that you had to happen to go to second grade, and you kept building on that. So a lot of times what happens is we have opened up curses in our family lines because of just selfish and disobedient behavior. Now, is there, you asked the question as a saved person or and a non-believer. So as a non-believer, they are held differently because they don't know. So what I'm saying is you can't hold a person in first grade accountable for what a person in fifth grade knows. You can't, because they're at different levels of their lives. So, but a person who knows and deliberately keeps doing the same things over and over again, then he has a different way of dealing with them because they know. So when we think of stuff like when we're sinning and we're doing stuff, oh, I got away with that. No, you didn't get away with that. What you're doing is you're building things into play so that when he gets to a place where, okay, you're not learning the lessons, he let all the chips fall. And so he's not going to try to punish you for each individual thing. He's going to keep just grieving with you. He's like, oh, man, I'm trying to get their attention, and they keep doing it over and over. I'm trying to save them, trying to help them, but we keep giving our own mindset because I know to do right, but I choose to do wrong. And so in that case, a lot of times it'll filter down into your children, your children's children. That's why a lot of times in different cultures, you'll see certain heinous things happening throughout that generation, whether it's addictions to alcohol, drugs, sexual and promiscuity. There's so many different things that can happen because it has been implanted in our bloodline, and it just keeps growing and growing until someone comes to the understanding of who God is and says, no, I want to break that bloodline. I want to break that curse.
Right. And see, I'm thinking a little differently, because I'm thinking, okay, what's the purpose of Jesus coming? Adam got it wrong the first time with him and Eve. They got it wrong because they were the ones that brought in, that caused sin to come into the world. Now, it's like, okay, man didn't get it right through our foreparents, which were Adam and Eve. So Jesus came and died on the cross. And if you're saying, Pastor Floyd, that Jesus' death on the cross covered our sins from the past, the present, and the future, then, you know, why is our bloodline still affected? But before you go there, before you take on that question, we've down about 15 minutes, you all. Let me go to phone lines once again. But think about that. Let's go to 305-769. 305-769. Who do we have on the air? And welcome.
Good afternoon. This is Ms. Augusti.
We're getting a background noise with somebody. Would you mute your phone if you all are not on the air, please?
This is Ms. Augusti.
Okay, Ms. Augustine, go ahead.
I was checking the blood pressure. I was just listening, and I've learned a lot. And I heard what he said about the phone, and I'm going to say this real quick. I just learned how to use YouTube. Before I used YouTube, I was calm, and I was okay. Then I got on YouTube, and there's so much negativity stuff on there, I got off. And I realized that it was controlling me. I used to go to bed at a certain time. It got to the point I couldn't. I'll be up all night watching it. Then I started listening to what I was watching. It was like it was just poison. It was poisoning my spirit, poisoning my mind, and poisoning me. I got off YouTube. It's been about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I feel calmer. I feel so much calmer. I'm just listening to the message. And I'm just being truly blessed. I'm learning so much, so much.
All right, awesome. We're going to actually stand by Ms. Augustine. And, of course, there's a lot of really good stuff on YouTube as well. A lot of good stuff.
Keep,
and he
yeah,
said earlier.
I keep the good stuff.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Good, because I'm that way with the news. I don't watch all the news because if it's too negative, I can't watch that. But, Pastor Floyd, we want to bring you in. We're running out of time, you all. Pastor Floyd, if you would address that question, then what's the purpose of Christ coming and dying on the cross? I came that you have life and have it more abundantly. But it's almost like part of the message being presented is doom and gloom. It makes God sound like a tyrant. It really makes him sound like a tyrant, you know, because, you know, you need to worship me out of fear. Ms. Augustine, that's your – okay, we'll mute you on this end. Okay, so it makes God seem like a tyrant, that if you don't worship me, I'm going to destroy you, then what's the purpose of giving us free choice?
Well, so we have to go back to the beginning, okay? You remember when they were in the Garden of Eden. Okay, we got to understand what was our purpose from the beginning. Adam and Eve was designed to partake of everything in the garden, and the garden was good. It was everything there was there they needed. And their purpose was to worship God, which is the same purpose we're going to have once we get to heaven. So we know that God is not a mean old God, because when Eve did take of the fruit, and then she brought it to Adam, their choice was, even though I know this is wrong, we're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But his wisdom did not do what he had told them would happen. They were supposed to die immediately. But because of his love for us, because he truly loves us. And I think we don't really understand that. He truly, truly loves us. It's almost like when we do something wrong, he almost has to turn his cheek for a second just to say, okay, I forgive him for that. But he truly loves us. And because he loves us so much, he spared their lives. But there's consequences to our disobedience. As you know, women now have to suffer the pain of having children.
Right.
Adam had to suffer, you know, the works, the thorns. He was going to have to.
Right.
So with those things being known, there are consequences to our decisions. The choice
right.
already made. He created this garden for you.
Right.
You can take everything you want. You can do any tree you want, just not that tree. So the choice is already made.
Right. We got that part. But the thing is, it's like Jesus came that you may have life and have more abundantly. And for me, that means, you know what? My parents messed up in the garden with you, God. They messed up out there with you. So is it really all my fault? Pastor Floyd, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Let me bring Dr. Haynes in. Dr. Haynes, let me ask you, I mean, from your point of view, you studied theology for a number of years. You have several degrees in it as well. Let me ask you, is it all my child says, well, listen, Dad, you were this way, but do I have to suffer your penalty for the rest of my life? Then where's God with being my personal savior? Where's he being me having a personal relationship with him? Why I got to pay for your sins? Dr. Haynes, let me ask you.
Well, we reap what we sow.
But we're talking about the children now. We're talking about the children. Does my son
right,
have to pay for my sins?
Right, but the planting of the seed, the thought processes, the behaviors forward. Let me put it to you this way. If you sit there and you tell your children, don't lie to me, but then somebody calls in, a creditor calls in, you say, tell them I'm not here. What did you just plant? You taught them the exact same thing.
And so, yes, we have
to renew our mind. We have to renew our mind, and we have to move forward. Can you ask for forgiveness and ask God to show you all of those things that you need to repent of and change, and then that generational curse is broken? Yes, you can do that too. But what people tend to do is they tend to gamble thinking, oh, I can get away with this. But there are consequences and repercussions for every single one of our actions.
Well, if that's the case, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want you to finish your thought, because I was just going to say, if that's the case, all of us are doomed, because none of us are exempt. Because Adam and Eve is part of, we're descendants of that bloodline. But go ahead.
But hold up.
Go ahead.
Adam and Eve. Sin, yes. That's when sin entered into the world. That's why we see all the diseases and everything else that is here.
Right.
Jesus came as the second Adam. And when he came, those that believe in him, wait a minute, still sin is in the world. It doesn't mean it goes away when you immediately accept Christ, but you're no longer under that particular curse, and you can break that generational curse moving forward. So with Adam, when he sinned, he died spiritually. Then when you accept Christ, you are born again spiritually. Now your spirit man is alive, because man is a three-part being. Now that would take us forever to go through. We can't do it all on this one call, and we've got 10 seconds left.
So does that help at least to say now I am spiritually alive? I can live with God going forward. I can be with him for the rest of my life. Otherwise, I am going to be spiritually separated from him because I don't know who he is. All right.
Right. We're going to ask you all
that.
Yeah, it does. It sort of is thought provoking, which is the whole show tonight is very thought provoking. But I want our listeners to know that, as Pastor Floyd has been saying, God is a loving God. He's not to be viewed as a tyrant to put fear into us. And you know, and the key to all of this is to research for yourself, because I don't talk about it on the air, but my doctorate is in human science and theocentric psychology. And that deals with the biological, social, political, and spiritual aspects of man. And the theocentric part of psychology is an attempt to understand the mind of God, the nature and behavior of man, how man disconnected from his creator, and how he can reconnect back to his creator. My position and training is to be a minister to ministers. And so, but yet, you know, I don't really talk about it over the air, but I do know this here, that God does not want us to worship him out of fear, but out of love, out of pure love. And he's got us through COVID-19 season. That's why we're going to bring you in just a minute as we start to wind down, because I want the people to leave here tonight that are listening, that God has them through this COVID-19 season. And the reason why I call it a season is because this too shall pass, and God will let it pass. And for some of us, yes, it may have turned out to be a blessing financially and otherwise. Like Dr. Haynes said, it gave us an opportunity to reconnect with family. It gave us an opportunity to establish and evaluate and assess our own personal lives and relationships with God. But God's got us. And, yes, some people are falling asleep, but we got to trust him continually where we can't trace him. Let's go to the phone lines once again, 352-560. Who do we have and welcome?
Hi, everyone. This is Liz. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Liz. Thank you for joining us, Liz. Did you have a question or a comment?
I have a question, comment, a little bit of both, and blessings to everyone. I wanted to say that I heard the Pastor Floyd and everyone speaking. It was very well. And he was saying about the mark of the beast, and I grew up in a Pentecostal church, but my friend invited me to her church, and her church is a Seventh-day Adventist, and they have a book called Sunday Law, and they said that the mark of the beast
Sunday Blue
is,
Law. Sunday Blue Law. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. They said that the mark of the beast is where the Bible says to keep the Sabbath holy, and that those who go to church on Sunday are not obeying the Bible, where it says to keep the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath day holy. So they say that the mark of the beast is in your hand and in your mind of what day you serve the Lord on. So I would like to know if Pastor Floyd can help me with this, please.
Okay, Pastor Floyd, we piled a lot on you right now because you've got some stuff pending from me as well. Go ahead.
Well, let me share this with you.
Yes.
God is not coming here to punish us for what we don't know. He's coming here for those who have decided to follow him, okay? We have to understand there are many kings. If we remember when they was in the upper room and he said make disciples out of them, there were thousands of people that came to that calling. And so they went out to speak and do different things in the name of Jesus. So there are many different kingdoms in the name of Jesus. And just because one thing or one denomination or one religion sect has something a little different, that's okay. Because God didn't come in for one particular type of people. There were many different people in that called out his name. There are many different nationalities, many different everything. So what we have to do is learn to understand that if we just commit ourselves and submit ourselves unto God, he will bring all things unto us. He will bring all understanding unto us. And so if we just allow ourselves to develop a relationship with the Father, and allow him to grow us, all these questions and things that we have will come clear to us as we continue to read and study. So there is no one type fits all. There is no one anything that fits all. God is a loving God to everything. That's why he got so many different nationalities and people and colors and different everything, because we are all uniquely different, but he sees us all as the apple of his eye.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by on that note. Lady C, did you have another question or comment before we go to Lady Love and go to Dr. Haynes?
No, I do not. I'm just enjoying what everybody's saying, and I'm learning a lot. So, no, I don't have a comment or a question.
Okay. Let's bring in Stephanie. Stephanie, another comment or question or concern or thought, anything?
No, not at this time. I'm just like everyone else. The conversation is so rich. I'm just enjoying it.
Okay. Let me go to Lady Love. Lady Love, you got anything? We're not closing out yet. We got about four more minutes. Lady Love, did you have a comment, question, or concern?
I don't have a comment. I believe Pastor Floyd answered my question, and so did Dr. Hines. But I do want to say thank you, because it does help a lot of people to understand that God is going to be with you on your level. And a lot of times they stray away from God because they feel that they need to be perfect. So, Pastor Floyd, thank you for that.
Okay, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up, because now let me start with this is a question for both Dr. Haynes and Pastor Floyd, and we're going to go with Dr. Haynes first and ask question. Dr. Haynes, is it expected of me, to a sinner, to be perfect?
You have to look at the definition of the word perfect. We think of it as without any issue whatsoever. We are constantly being changed each and every day. And he says he will continue to work on us until we actually get to heaven. So the perfection, though, is that I'm maturing and I'm growing, and I'm supposed to be like him. He says, be ye perfect, be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. That But I am working toward that. But I did want to say one thing before we close, and I know we're getting to the end of it. I gave you the scripture because your overall theme you were talking about, whether or not God is with us. And that scripture is Hebrews 13:5. But we typically like to just pick and choose a portion of the scripture. So let me read the entire verse for you.
Okay.
It says, keep your lives free from the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you read it in the Amplified, it says, no, not ever, no, not ever, no, not ever. And our goal is to be grateful for what he has given us, be content with what he has given us, and then he will be able to then give us more. All right? So, no, he's not going to leave us, but we also have a responsibility within that to give him the acknowledgement that he so deserves.
Okay, in just 15 seconds or less, let me just pose this to you, because we are clearly running out of time, and I'm being threatened again that I got to get off the air. So, Dr. Haynes, I got to ask you this question. Then we got to go to Pastor Floyd for 20 seconds or less. Then Lady Love will close us out. But, Dr. Haynes, how do you say that to some Africans who I went to law school with, and they say to me and to other blacks that were there, we are not true sons of the soil, which means, and I asked them to break that down for me. They say, the people over here do nothing for the people in Africa. So how do you explain what you just said, that he will give us more when our people are starving over in countries like that? How do they have an expectation that God will came for more, for life and more abundantly for them? Dr. Haynes, quickly, please.
Oh, he definitely will be able to do that, but you're looking at what your capacity is and what your decision is on what is more. And so we all come in with different vantage points, and we all have the ability to contain a different amount. Just like you go to Matthew 25, one had five, one had two, one had one talent. He knows what you're able to
contained. And so when you're grateful for what you have, God still is giving and blessing each and every day. We see miracles every single day, the birth of a child. We see so much that does happen. Now, can you handle it? And
yeah,
I'll just have to
question.
Leave it there.
Yeah, yep. That's the question. Dr. Haynes, we're running out of time. I just want to ask you quickly, would you be able to come back on our show at another time to continue our discussion?
Oh, yes, definitely, because I wanted to help with the finance side as well.
All right, good. Somebody's listening to their radio at the same time, you are, and that's what's coming back into the studio, the feedback. Pastor Floyd, we're going to give you, and then we got to close out the show, give you a chance to just close it down in the next 30 seconds, then we go to Lady Love for the final word.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, listen, we are so blessed, all of us, and it doesn't matter about our economic situation or our status. We came from the slaves, you know, when we had nothing. We had to live off the land, and we created all kinds of things as a result of our slavery. So just because your situation seems bad, there's some things that are just still blessings. Like people in Africa, they're very close to each other. They believe in family. They believe in taking care of each other, taking care of their elderly. We here in America, sometimes we have people, all four people in the house, and nobody talks. We text each other and send messages. So there's different blessings that occur in different situations, and it doesn't have to look the same. God blesses us all in every situation. There's a blessing in that situation. So we should be thankful for the blessing. We should be thankful for what he's given us.
Amen.
All right. All right. We thank you all for that. Listen, let me go to Lady Love for the final word. Lady Love, we got like 15 seconds.
In the face of the coronavirus pandemic, we have the power to choose our response. When we choose faith over fear, wisdom over worry, and prayer over panic, we can experience the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4:7, in doing so, we become the light of Christ in a very dark situation.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen. Thank you for that. Thank you. Amen for that. Listen, we're clearly out of time. Join us back here. Join us next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, where we've got a surprise topic that you don't want to miss next Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, if you choose to bypass that, join us back here next Friday for your one-hour inspiration program. We want to say a special thanks to Dr. Haynes tonight for joining us, along with Pastor Floyd. And Pastor Floyd, will you come back with us again on another show as well?
Yes, I will.
Pastor Floyd? Okay, all right. We appreciate that. Thank
yes,
you all.
Yes,
thank you both so much for taking time out
thank
of
you.
Your busy schedule to be with us at the end. I want to thank all of my callers, those of you all that we weren't able to get to tonight. Thank you for tuning in and join us. And you always want to call in early, you all, the callers, so that you can get into the queue early enough so that we can get with you. Listen, we're out of time. Thank you all for joining us. We hope you'll be back with us next Thursday, and if not next Thursday, next Friday night. And also the following next Saturday, we're having our miracle prayer day. So you'll want to join us for that. It's Saturday morning, 6:30 to 8:30, when we have a special speaker for that day. All right, so until next week, one day next week, I just want to say to my listening audience all around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Hi, Sister Augustine.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
God bless you all.
And I've been blessed. Truly blessed.